This episode of Póngase las Pilas is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. I remember back when I was around 6 years old and lived in Colombia, and my parents used to take my sister and I to our closest McDonald's. I absolutely loved playing in their indoor playground, but my favorite part was eating ice cream and finding a toy inside mi cajita feliz. Even when we moved to Miami, Florida, visiting a McDonald's always felt so special because even though we were surrounded by a different language and culture, we could still enjoy our time together as a family. And I could collect as many Happy Meal toys as possible. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba! Me encanta!
Póngase las pilas. Escucha los consejos de mamá. Cuando empieces algo, empiézalo con fuerza. No te rindas y sobre todo... Póngase las pilas.
Hola, mi gente linda. You're listening to Póngase las Pilas, a motivational podcast for the professional Latina. I am your host, Laura Prieto, and I am on a mission to motivate you and help you engineer a life you love. I am a mom, dog lover, engineer, and creative soul that loves learning new things. Join me each week as I talk about mindset, motherhood, career, business, and creativity, because as my mom always says, nunca es tarde para aprender. So grab your cafecito or favorite drink, and let's get into it.
Hola, hola, pilosas. Bienvenidas a otro episodio de Póngase las Pilas. A little bit of a life update. I am now 38 weeks pregnant, and baby has not shown up yet. But I think we're getting close, very close. And that's why I thought of creating this episode as a way to kind of go down memory lane and look at the products that I have loved throughout my first baby. I wanted to have this episode as a way to help any of you that might be pregnant, or maybe you know of someone that is. And I think it's, you know, when you're a first-time parent, and even as a second time, I guess, when it comes time to kind of create your baby registry for your baby shower and all of that, sometimes it's really hard to kind of know which products are really helpful and which ones are practical. You know, we go through these lists of what the baby registry, like what you should have on it, but you don't really know what you're going to use. So I kind of wrote down some of the things that I definitely used with my first baby and kind of like what I love the most. So I hope it's helpful for any of you that, like I said, maybe you know of someone that's pregnant and they're like freaking out about what to buy or what to include in their registry. So here's kind of like a rundown of my favorite 20 baby products that I used and I will continue to use with baby number two. They're not really placed in any particular order. That was just kind of how I remembered them. So they might be out of order in the sense of, you know, what you use when they're like newborns and all that. I didn't break it up per stage, but I can always, you know, kind of give you an overview of when we used it. There are some things that we still use, and she's almost 3 years old now. So that's why I love that product, and I think it's very practical. Because there's certain things that kind of grow with your kid. And, well, if you know me at all, you know that I like that. I like things that grow with them because I do not like spending money on multiple items when I can find something that will work, like, for a long time. And I also am very conscious of not buying things to then have to throw away because, you know, I have an environmental side to me. My environmental, eco-friendly thoughts and heart. And even though, of course, I, you know, there's things that I use that are disposable and I'm not perfect. And I always say that we're killing the planet, but I try to do the best I can where possible. Sometimes it's just really hard, or at least maybe I haven't found the product that works well, that it's not disposable, which I'll get into it. There's definitely one of those in this list, and I just want to bring it to your attention because it goes with a background story that I'll get into. So here's a list of my favorite 20 baby products that I will be using again with baby number two. So let's start off with the Nose Frida Snot Sucker. That's what it's actually called. And this is basically, I call it for mucus control. It's this device that you use to basically suck out your kid's boogers, but it's not like you're eating them or anything. The first time I saw it, I was like scared. I thought that you were actually sucking them and like you would eat them, which was obviously gross. But it turns out, I think everyone, when they first see it, that's what they think about. But it has, you know, it has this little tube and it has a filter. So you're just like sucking, but the mucus stays within that little tube. But it's really good to get their boogers out because obviously when they're younger, it's really hard to like take them out. The hospital gave us this like little bombita like to suck them out, but it was always so hard. And when you have like a baby, even like a even worse than a toddler, but you know, as a newborn, like you don't want to be like doing all of these things to them, right? Some of them are very easygoing, but still, like any person would get impatient with you trying to just keep putting something in their nose. And that's kind of like what happened with that first product that the hospital gave us. It wasn't very useful, at least not for me. It was kind of difficult to use. And then also I noticed that whenever I would like, you know, put water in it to like try to clean it with hot water, there was like all this black stuff that would come out. And I didn't like that because you couldn't really tell what went into it. So as much as you could try to get the boogers out of it, I'm pretty sure some just like stayed in there. So it was not very hygienic in my opinion. And so my husband, he's pretty good at researching things, especially when I tell him, hey, we need to look for something different. So he's pretty good at that. And he found this Nose Frida thing. And we started using it, and this is one of those things that we still use to this day. So that's definitely a product that I would recommend wholeheartedly and that I will continue to use. We are probably going to get a new one just because, you know, it's been 3 years and the one we had a replacement one, but it didn't turn out to be as good as the first one we got. But those are like really good. And we obviously use like the saline, el suero. I don't know what you call it. I think it's saline, like liquid. And that helps also. So we definitely use that in conjunction with the Nose Frida. Now for the second product on my list, it is a pillow, a nursing pillow. It's from this brand called Breast Friend. And it's really helpful when you're breastfeeding, especially in the early days of breastfeeding, because when you have a newborn, of course, you know, they're all like flimsy, so it's gonesome. And so like you're trying to hold their head and like, their tiny body. And so you're also breastfeeding like around the clock. First few weeks, you're basically attached with your baby all the time and they're just like eating. So this pillow was really helpful for me because it kind of wraps around your waist and it has like a, what's it called? Like a clip. So it clips on. So like you can like, you don't have to hold the pillow. It clings on. It clicks, you know, I don't know how to explain it. Hopefully you understand what I'm saying. I feel like I should do a video of this, but it has like a clip that goes in the back. And so you could be like hands free and the pillow is attached to you. So that's really helpful because sometimes, you know, like I said, it's like you're trying to hold your baby steady, but you also get tired. Sometimes they breastfeed for like a while on one side and then a while on the other. And so you get tired, but the pillow helps to keep them by your side without them obviously falling. And it has like little two, like padding on both sides for like their head to rest on. So I thought that was really helpful. That was actually like a hand-me-down from a friend. And I had like never seen that pillow before. I had seen like the boppy, I think it's the boppy pillow that is very popular. But that one, it doesn't clip on you. It just kind of like wraps around you and hugs you. But I feel like it could just fall at any moment. So, but I really liked that one. And I liked it so much that when we like traveled with our daughter, like I think our first trip was when she was 3 months old, and we actually bought the inflatable breast friend for travel, which was super helpful as well, because obviously this pillow is like bulky, like you're not going to take it on the plane with you. But the inflatable one, it serves the same purpose, and you can just inflate it whenever you need it and take out the air when you don't need it. So it was really, really helpful. So I definitely recommend that as well if you're, you know, planning on breastfeeding and just to help you out. Another thing that was helpful when breastfeeding was coconut oil for sore nipples, because that's definitely going to happen. And after a while, I would just use like my own milk, which they say is like the best. But in the beginning, like even just trying to like grab some milk to basically put it, like apply it on your nipples was hurting. So it helped to have like coconut oil, and it's totally safe for your baby. Well, of course, you know, obviously you check, but like it shouldn't really affect your baby. So that was helpful there. And then in the subject of like breastfeeding and all that, number four on my list is the nursing pads. And this is where, this is the product I was talking about that I used disposable ones. And the reason for that was because, you know, going into it for like my baby registry, I asked for nursing pads that were, you know, the cloth ones so that I could be eco-friendly. And I was like, oh, I'll just wash them and all this stuff. Well, when you first give birth and you're breastfeeding like all the time and your baby's trying to latch on, you're trying to learn as well how it's supposed to all work, which is like super crazy and complicated. I know everyone's like, oh, you know, it's a natural thing. And it is very natural, but it doesn't come as natural sometimes. It's difficult for your baby. It's a new thing for them, and it's a new thing for you. So breastfeeding is like a whole other monster to deal with. But in the beginning, the first few days, like you might have a lot of milk, and you also have a lot of like, you leak a lot. And of course, like it was my first time breastfeeding and my first time having milk leaking. So I was using those, you know, the cloth nursing pads, but I don't think I changed them often enough. And so, and I didn't even have that many. Like I had, you know, I had like maybe a box of them. I don't recall how many it came with, but I didn't have enough to be like putting in the wash all the time. Plus, who has time for that when you have a newborn? Like, there's enough going on that you don't really have the time to be washing stuff all the time. I developed this thing called thrush, and it was not pretty. It was super painful, and it actually affected the baby as well. It's like a yeast infection almost. And I mean, no one ever told me why I got it, but I think it was because of that, because of the nursing pads, because I didn't change them often enough. When, you know, when I was, it was like really painful for me to breastfeed. And then I wasn't really sure if baby was getting enough milk. I think that's one of the worries that you always have when you're breastfeeding. And, you know, I went to this like weigh-in at the hospital, they have like breastfeeding sessions, and you go in and like you weigh your baby without any clothes. You take down that weight, and then you feed your baby when, you know, like normal, like what you usually do. And then you basically weigh them again and kind of see how much milk they took in. And when we did that, it seemed like baby was getting enough milk. Like everything seemed good, which I was so grateful for. So then it was kind of like, okay, so, you know, she's latching on correctly. She is actually drinking milk. Why is it still hurting? Because, you know, everything I read said it shouldn't hurt. So I had this pain that was like really bad. Like I would like curl my toes because it was so painful whenever she would latch on. And my husband like would he noticed that. And I was trying to be all tough of like, oh, I got this, you know. But of course, in those moments, it was kind of like he could tell that it was painful. And he said, you know what, like, I don't know, but maybe we should look into having someone else help you. Because, of course, he's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help you. I have no idea how this works. So he looked up like a lactation consultant. And that was so helpful too. I guess that's not a product. But if you are breastfeeding for the first time and you're having trouble, definitely recommend talking to a lactation consultant. At the hospital, they give you like, they have one. And we definitely like had her come into the room and show us and all that. I was like, I even told my husband, like, record everything she's saying because I need to know it when we're at home. And I mean, he did record it and stuff, but it's just so different when you're home. And I feel like when we were at the hospital and the lactation consultant was there, like baby grabbed on like perfect and it seemed like simple. And then you get home and it's like, why doesn't it work anymore? Why isn't it so simple anymore? So it's kind of like that thing that like when you have the teacher right there, it works. But when you don't, then you can't get it to work. So we had this lady come in. She came to the house, which was good. She also brought her like scale and she did that weigh-in again to just make sure that baby was, you know, drinking enough milk, which she was. But she was also observing, like, she was like, you know, just feed your daughter like normal. I just want to see kind of like what goes on. And when I did that, like, she could tell that I was in pain. That's when she said, you know, I think you might have something called thrush. You need to check like with your pediatrician, with your doctor. And that was helpful because at least it gave me an idea of what could be wrong. I thought I was doing it wrong. I thought I was breastfeeding wrong. I thought that maybe my daughter wasn't latching correctly, but it turned out to be something else. And so that was really helpful, at least for that, because it gave us kind of like another avenue to look at, another thing to possibly investigate. And that's what we did. And they say that when you have thrush, it sometimes, of course, affects the baby because obviously they're drinking. And so they have like this white stuff that on their tongue. And usually breastfed babies usually keep like some milk in their tongue because that's obviously all they're drinking. But it was kind of like it wouldn't go away even if like you tried to like wipe it down. Like it wouldn't go away. And that's what happened. I had thrush. And so they put me like on this antibiotic, and my daughter also, like, we had to put like this ointment and stuff on like my nipples, and like it was this whole thing. I had to like air it out and like all this stuff. But once it went away, like, it was great because it didn't hurt anymore and we were able to see, okay, it was definitely that. And of course, like before, like once the lady said, you know, you probably have thrush, like, what did I do? I Googled it and I started researching all about it. And so when it said like yeast infection and stuff like that, I was like, okay, it's probably those nursing pads. So that's when we got disposable ones. And you can bet that I was changing those like constantly And it was also actually easier to see, you know, how much I had leaked, basically, because those pads, like, you could tell that, you know, like, they got wet. With the fabric, it was kind of harder to tell. And I think that's also why it was harder on me to, like, know when to change it. And I don't know if anyone's thinking, like, oh, you should know to change them, but I didn't. It's kind of one of those things that it's, like, it's probably, like, the last thing on your mind when there's so much going on. And so I didn't, like, that didn't cross my mind of how often I should change them. So definitely, you know, recommend. I'm all for eco-friendly and reusable stuff, but when it affects, like, health-wise like that or affects, like, my baby, I'm, like, I'm okay. So the nursing pads, the disposable ones, I recommend those. And if you, you know, you can always change along the way. Like, once you're also not leaking as much, you can always go back to, like, the cloth ones, the fabric ones. But that's just my opinion. Okay, so back to the list. Product number 5 would be the wireless pump that I used, which is the Willow. Oh, and I should add that none of these are, like, sponsored. None of these items are, you know, sponsored in any way. Although if any of you brand names that I've thrown out there want to sponsor, great. But these are just genuinely, like, things that I've used. And this pump, I actually heard about it through a friend that has, her daughter is basically, like, 6 months younger, no, older than my daughter. And so she told me about this pump. At first I was using the Spectra that I got through my insurance. And that one was good too. Don't get me wrong. That one's good too. I just didn't like that I had to be, like, connected to it to be able to pump. It just, like, it was this feeling of, like, I can't do anything. Like, I can't do anything else. And, like, I don't know. It was just not the best feeling. And I was also thinking about when I had to go back to work, having to lug around, like, this huge, I was saying huge, I'm exaggerating. The Spectra is not that huge, but it's so heavy, you know, it's like, it reminds me of, like, a little boombox. But I don't know, at that moment, I felt like I didn't really want to have to use it. I don't think any woman likes pumping. That's just the truth of it. It's like, I prefer to have my baby just drink the milk instead of pumping. But of course, like, sometimes you have to. And I was trying to build up my stash for when I went back to work. So when my friend told me she was using this Willow pump, which is wireless, I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. Of course, like, we researched it with my husband. And to be quite honest, at first I was like, no, we are not getting that. That is too expensive. And you can look it up. It's pretty expensive. But then I was thinking, you know, one morning at, like, 4 a.m. when I was pumping, I was thinking, well, maybe it's a good investment for my sanity. So we ended up getting it. And it was really good. I would like to try the other one, the EV, something like that. I don't know if any of you have tried it. You can let me know. Because I still have the Willow pump. But now I think they're, like, eligible for, like, FSA and, like, whatever thing is for your insurance. It seems like you can get it through insurance, even the wireless ones. So I'm kind of late on looking at that, but I have to look at that. If I can get it through insurance, then I would like to try the other one, just for the suction part of it. This Willow one was good. I did use it while I was still, like, you know, with my baby. The one thing I didn't like about it at first was that it was like the bags where the milk would go in, they weren't, like, reusable bags. So again, my eco-friendly self, I was like, oh my gosh, so much plastic, because, like, it would, you know, it would fill up the bag, then you could freeze it or whatever, which is convenient. But then, like, when you took out the milk, it's just bags that go in the trash. Like, you know, it's not very eco-friendly. But then they got it and they changed that and they were offering a container. So it was like a reusable container that you would, instead of putting the bag, you would put in that container, take out the milk, and then that like milk from that container, you could pass it on to like your baby's bottle or whatever. And so that was good. And also because like those bags were really expensive. And when you're like pumping at work, that obviously you're pumping during the same times that your baby's usually eating, that's a lot of bags that you go through. So it was like really expensive. And sometimes I'm kind of cheap, but it worked out. And that pump was good. It was good because like even though at work I had like a room to pump and stuff, like you could use it and like you can walk. You can like, I don't know. I mean, there's so many women that still work. You know, my friend, like, sometimes she would use it at the, like, at her desk. I was always kind of like, nah, I'm okay. I'm not going to do that. But I wanted to, like, take my time, you know, like, not be, like, pumping and working just because I thought this is, like, a me time kind of thing. But, yeah, but, like, when I was at home and had to pump sometimes, because also, like, my daughter, when she started going, like, longer sprints at night, I would still pump just to not lose the supply. So, like, let's say the 4 a.m. feed that I used to do, she stopped doing that one. And she would wake up until, like, 7 to feed. So I would still wake up at 4 to pump. And so I would use that pump, the Willow. And it was helpful because I could move around. Like I said, it was way better than being connected, like, with these, you know, with the Spectra. So definitely recommend a wireless pump. Do your research. I mean, I only know of the Willow one, which is the one I used. It was good. I feel like sometimes the suction could have been better. And at first, like it's like everything. You have to like adjust it. You can adjust the suction to whatever you can tolerate. At first, it was like, it felt like it was like pulling a lot. And then as I got used to it, then I felt like it wasn't pulling enough. So maybe I just got too used to it. I don't know. Definitely recommend a wireless pump if you can do it. Product number 6, it's a sound machine. So this was really helpful because, and I still use this today with my toddler. But the sound machine has been helpful in when she was younger too, because like babies have like this natural startle reflex. When that happens, it's kind of like sometimes when you fall asleep, like you have these movements that are involuntary and it like wakes you up, but you're usually able to just go back to sleep. Well, for a newborn, they don't have that. So like they have that reflex and they move and it'll just wake them up and they'll start crying. Or the whole thing about like, you know, sometimes a really loud car passes by. And it's like any little thing just like wakes them up. And a sound machine is really helpful to drown out that noise. And even like just people talking and stuff. And you're probably thinking, oh no, I want my baby to get used to like all the sounds and all this stuff. And hey, that's what I thought too. But I really found that like the sound machine is so helpful because you're going to want to be able to sleep. And that sound machine, like, you know, for the first 6 months of our daughter's life, she slept in the same room with us, not in the same bed. I tried it and I couldn't do it, but in the same room. And that sound machine actually helped me sleep too. So I think sound machines are great even for adults. But yeah, I definitely recommend a sound machine, any of them. I don't have really preferences. We got one as a gift from a dear friend, and it's like very basic. It just has like the sound machine thing, like different sounds, and it has like a projector for like 4 little things that you could like project on your wall. But it's been really good. And we had that one. We also got like a turtle that had a sound machine thing, which we used when she was like really tiny. And I would put it like right next to her, like really close to her, but it wasn't so loud. So that one
after a while, it was kind of like, this is not working. Because it had like a timer and stuff. And then we recently got the hatch. It does have the option to do like to be a sound machine, but it also has like this light thing that it's like a way for your toddler to know when it's time to wake up and when it's time to go to sleep and be asleep. So it's kind of like, you know, my daughter doesn't tell time yet. So it's kind of like a clock for them to know. For us, we've put like green is you can wake up, like it's time to wake up. And red is like you're supposed to be asleep. So we've used it more for that than the sound part. We haven't really used the sound part because we're so used to the other one that we've had since forever now. So that's why I said like any sound machine will do. But if you are looking at something that maybe you want to use in the long run, like the light switching stuff, of course, in the beginning, they don't really need that. Then I would say get the hatch because it's going to work for later on. And I guess on that note, too, I remember that when Leilani was a newborn, we used red light for whenever we had to like change a diaper or even like just to pick her up to breastfeed. We read that it was better to use that type of light and keep all the other lights like turned off so that it wouldn't wake them up as much. Because when you're breastfeeding like in the middle of the night, you want that baby to go back to sleep quickly. So that's what we used. And for that, we actually used a humidifier that also has a light in it. So, you know, multiple things in one is always good to have. And, okay, so product number 7, blackout curtain. This has been really helpful. We have one that you attach to, like, your window. And it actually works for travel as well. We actually have 2. One stays, like, in her room. And the other one is taken with us wherever we go, wherever we travel. Because light filters through, even if you have, like, blackout curtains. It can filter through like little cracks. And we usually, like, our daughter wakes up like at around 7, so you know, between like 6 and 7 sometimes it's like really clear out, especially when we're like, you know, we have the time change here. So that has been helpful. And because we would also, you know, put her down early to go to sleep, so well, in the beginning it was like by 7 she was like asleep. And again, when we have like daylight savings time, it gets dark until like 8:30. So there would be that light filtering through. So we really like the blackout curtain thing. Now for number 8, the product that I love is the Nanit, which is like a camera to be able to see your baby while they're asleep. And we got this pretty early on. It's kind of an expensive thing to get, but it's been very helpful. We actually have the annual membership also to get insights, which right now we don't really use anymore. I mean, she started sleeping in her own room after she was 6 months old, and so that's where it really became super helpful. Before that, we also used it in our room. So even though we slept, you know, in the same room, we had the Nanit there as well. And it was helpful because when you have like that membership, it gives you insights on your baby's sleep. So it would show you kind of like when she woke up, stuff like that. And I love that because we in this house, we love data, we love information. And so that helped us kind of break down, okay, she's sleeping, I don't know, 4 hours and waking up. So that also helped with like the feeding schedule. It also would help us with like figuring out like if she had a wet diaper and all of that stuff. So at the beginning, it was very helpful. We had like, I feel like we used those insights for a while. The first year, they were amazing. And I considered like not renewing it because again, me trying to save money. But then we tried it out for like a few days without the insights. And we were like, oh my gosh. We don't know what happened because by then she was sleeping by herself. And so in those moments, it was kind of like sometimes she would wake up, but she would fall back asleep on her own, right? So we didn't know what had happened. Like, we wouldn't know if she had actually woken up or not during the night. But the insights would tell you. Because she didn't cry every time. Maybe she just woke up. She went back to sleep. And so we didn't hear her. We would, you know, just keep sleeping until, like, we woke up and we could look at the insights. Oh, like, what happened last night kind of thing. So those are very helpful. They helped us kind of see patterns in her sleep because they do go through sleep regressions. And it helps to kind of go back. We would go back a few weeks and kind of see, okay, what's happening, what's going on. Or if maybe we put her down too late and she was overtired. This whole analytical kind of way that we've been parenting, which obviously doesn't always work, but it makes us feel a little more in control, I guess. So that definitely recommend the Nanit. Like I said, we still use it. And we will most likely use it again with baby number two, especially with those insights. And this actually reminded me of something else that we used that I loved that I do not have on the list. And I'm just going to go ahead and add it here. So this could be like 8.5. But this is like not an actual product. It's an app. And let me just check really fast what it's called because it's Baby Tracker. So there's a Baby Tracker app that we use. It's called Baby Tracker. There's different ones. You can, you know, again, do your research, figure out which one would work for you. But we really liked it. I loved it because we started using it as soon as we came home from the hospital. And we would log everything. Like, we would log whenever she went to sleep, whenever she would breastfeed as well, and whenever we changed a diaper. Because in the beginning also, they ask you, like, how many wet diapers, how many poop diapers. Like, at the doctor, they ask you a lot of questions, and you're like, I don't know. So aside from that, it was really helpful, again, to look at patterns. And that's what helped us kind of see, okay, she's sleeping longer stretches from this time at night. And so in that way, you know, I wouldn't wake her up at night to feed. I would try to feed her every 2 hours during the day so that at night she would start going longer stretches. And that's kind of what we did. So by 4 weeks, she was already doing like a long stretch at night. And that was so helpful. Because even if, like, I would have to pump, just because I was afraid of, like, losing milk, but at least, like, it wasn't kind of like, oh my gosh, like, I have to wake her up, or I have to, like, go grab her, breastfeed, and then put her back, like, all this stuff. It was kind of like also teaching her to go longer stretches at night, which would mean that eventually I would get more sleep as well. So that was helpful for that. It was also helpful for the breastfeeding portion. Even though, like, it's not, you know, I couldn't measure in ounces how much milk she was drinking. It was kind of like by time, I would know by then she usually breastfeeds for 10 minutes on this side, 10 minutes on the other. And that way I would know, okay, she's good. Because sometimes, like, of course, she would fall asleep breastfeeding. And I'll be like, does she have enough? Does she not? What am I supposed to do? So I was guided a lot by those patterns and, like, the time and all that. So that app is really helpful. So there you go. Now for number 9, it's kind of like the Nanit, but this is just a baby camera. Like, it's just a camera. It's not even a baby camera. It's just a camera. It's Wyze, W-Y-Z-E. And you can use it, like, even to, like, if you have a dog and you want to put a camera to see what they do all day. Like, it's just like a little camera, but we use it for travel because the Nanit is, like, attached to our, like, to the wall right above, like, her crib. So in the beginning, we were using the Nanit when it was, like, in our room because it was just, like, on a stand. It wasn't attached to the wall. But once we attached it to the wall, then we were like, okay, we just need a little camera to travel with, And my husband gets creative wherever we go, and he usually takes, like, the zip ties. And, you know, every time we travel, we learn something new. And we also do travel with some blue tape. So it's like, you know, we do a setup of it and put blue tape on it. Because sometimes it's not easy to find kind of where to put it at an angle that's going to give you kind of like a good view of your kid. So that's where he gets creative with that. But that's also been really helpful. And it connects to an app on your phone as well. Okay, for number 10, before I get this episode to be 4 hours long, product number 10 is cloth diapers. We did a combination with our daughter. We did a combination of like disposable diapers and cloth diapers. Also because with the whole thing of cloth diapers, it was our first time. And so we weren't really sure how to do it. The whole washing them, the whole taking care of them, and you know, how to do it. There's so many different options. We went with pre-folds and covers. For the covers, we used some from Thirsties, Rumperoos, Flip, and they all had snaps. We bought some for like when she was a newborn, but we didn't really use them that much because she was going through so many diapers and we were like, well, we can't even figure this out yet. So let's just do disposable ones. And because the disposable ones, like, we've used Huggies, and they have that little line that shows you when they've peed. So that was helpful. But when we did start using the cloth diapers, we did get some with Velcro, and I did not really love those. I like the ones with the snaps better. I might do a separate episode on cloth diapers if anyone's interested, so just let me know. But yeah, I really liked having the possibility of doing cloth diapers because you do go through a lot of diapers, and just the thought of diapers don't, you know, they end up in a landfill and they won't decompose until like 30 years after. So that always makes me think like, oh my gosh, I'm 31 years old. My diapers are still out there in the landfill and they haven't decomposed completely probably. So it's very sad when you think about that and our planet and everything that's going on. So, you know, like I said, I'm not like 100% eco-friendly in everything that I do, but I try. And I am aware of certain things that I would like to change. So this is one thing that, you know, we actually enjoyed it after a while. At first, it's kind of like scary because you're like, I don't know how to wash this. But if it's not washing correctly, plus when you're breastfeeding, that stuff like is amazing because you breastfeed, your baby like basically poops and it's fine. Like you don't have to even put it in like in the toilet. That just because it's milk, it's not solid food. So it doesn't even like smell as bad as when they start solids. And of course the pee, like you can just put it in the washer. So I feel like the best time to do a cloth diaper if you're breastfeeding is like first 6 months, if you're going to start solids at 6 months. Because then when you start solids, then you actually got to like clean the, like pre-clean, pre-wash the diaper. So we got this like little pail thingy and we did put like a hose in the bathroom that you wash that first and then you put them in the washer. Of course, because by then, you know, they're eating solids. But that might be a whole other episode. Number 11, a carrier. That was very helpful. And it was a good way to kind of like carry your baby everywhere. But this time around, I actually bought a wrap for like the newborn stage. Because I really missed that I didn't do that with Leilani. I wanted a wrap, but I was trying to be, you know, conscious of like how much we were spending or whatever. And we already had the carrier, which the carrier was good. It was just bulky for me. And I live in Florida. And so it got kind of like really hot for both baby and I. And I remember when my nephew was born, my sister had a wrap, like it's just like a fabric, you know, t-shirt material kind of wrap. And I remember like I used to use it with my nephew. And I was like, why didn't I use it with my daughter? Like, they're always with you. So I definitely got one of those for this baby number two. And that'll be until they're like one, or depending on their weight. And then I got a separate carrier as well for like when they're older. And even like Leilani can use it now as my toddler. In case, because I thought maybe she wants me to carry her as well when she sees that I'm carrying baby. You know, I have to think about that now because I'm a mom of two. And I haven't been able to really carry her that much since I'm pregnant. It's gotten really hard for me to pick her up. And I know she misses that. I definitely miss that as well. So product number 12. This is kind of like, well, to me it was helpful. But these are some bibs that I found on Amazon. And they're lined in the back. With this, like, almost, it's not even microfiber, it's like just like cotton. It's like really soft, and they don't let, like, you know, the bib gets wet because, like, when they're like drooling and stuff, and then like, or the milk spit up, whatever, but it doesn't go through because sometimes, like, we had other bibs that they look cute and everything, but they didn't really help. Like, the milk would still go through to their shirt, and then you had to end up changing them. So I was like, what's the point of the bib if it's not going to protect the clothes? And I actually, this is kind of a funny thing, but when I was breastfeeding, sometimes it would like spit out really fast, and so she would latch on and start drinking, and I guess since it was so fast, she would like come off the nipple, and so it would like just spray, it would spray her. And so I started using the bibs even for breastfeeding, because then that way, and even like a little towel, like I, you know, like she wouldn't get her clothes dirty. It was just like basically bottle feeding, but it was just me breastfeeding. And I would use like the little towel to like hold it while the initial sprint of milk would come out, and then she could go back. So there's a lot of, you know, exciting, interesting stories that go with breastfeeding. But I really like those bibs. So I recommend getting bibs that are absorbent, I guess is the word. Okay, so number 13. This one has been really good. This is one of those things that grows with your kid. And it's an activity center from Skip Hop. And it has been really helpful. We actually got it from my sister. It was my nephew. But he didn't really use it. So it was pretty new when we got it. And she began to use it basically as a bouncer. You know, to get strength in her feet and her legs and all that. And then she started using it when she started to learn to stand. Like she would grab onto it and kind of like, you know, lift her body. And that's where she also learned how to stand. And now it's just like her activity table. So she paints on there. She does Play-Doh. You know, she plays with the Play-Doh there. She plays with anything on it. And that has been really helpful. Because like I said, it has stages and it just grows with your kid. And she has really, really used it. Like, I think we have to buy her an activity table so that baby number two can actually use it as a bouncer soon enough. Okay, number 14. This product has been really good as well for travel, and it's a travel stroller. I don't recall the brand. I want to say it's like Yo-Yo. I don't know what it's called. But I'm sure if you look at travel strollers, like, you'll find it. And it has been really good because, you know, it's not like we've traveled that much, but when we have traveled, like, now we use it to just, like, go anywhere because it's less bulky than the traditional strollers that you use. And she's older too. So it's like, we don't need like such an involved stroller right now. But for travel, it was very good because it folds down. And so you can actually take it with you in the plane, like as a carry-on. So you don't have to like gate check it or anything like that. And you could also use it while you're at the airport waiting for your flight, which is really helpful when you have kids because they get tired, they get cranky, and, you know. So definitely I recommend a travel stroller. Number 15 on my list is a trailer. We go bike riding a lot. And so we bought this trailer. And it actually fits two kids. So we're set on that part. And I think you can use it once they turn like 18 months and older. So that's when we started using it. We had bought like the little chair that goes on the back of your bike. But that was scary, to be honest. We tried it like around the neighborhood and I was like, no, I don't want that one. It was kind of scary. So this one is like an actual trailer, like that attaches to the bike. And usually my husband like takes her on there. And it's been good. Like she liked it, you know, she goes like just looking at everything outside and stuff like that. But it's really helpful because like you can still go bike riding and take your kid with you. And it's a really nice outdoor thing you can do. Like during the pandemic, I feel like that was like a great thing that we were able to do. We would go bike riding like every Friday and it was really fun. And she loved it too. She still uses it. I just obviously I haven't been bike riding for 9 months. But my husband still uses it with her and I really like it. And it even fit like my nephew. Like they've both gone on there. So of course you'll have to just check the weight capacities and stuff, but it's been really good. So I definitely recommend that. And I think the brand that we got is Burley. Mm-hmm. It's a Burley. There we go. Burley trailer. In case you are interested in finding the exact one that I've used. But yeah. So number 16. We're getting close to number 20. Number 16 is a swaddle. And there's many swaddles. So you can do your research. I personally love the Love to Dream swaddle. They have one for like each state depending on like the weight of your baby. And that one was really good because it holds, again, with the startle reflex thing that they like, you know, move and like it wakes them up and they start crying. That's the whole point of swaddling them, that they're like tight like a burrito and then they, you know, they won't really wake up because the startle reflex is like contained by you swaddling them. The only thing is sometimes it's difficult to swaddle them or your kid just, they undo the swaddle. They like get out of the swaddle. So this Love to Dream, we actually got one for like when she was a newborn, like we used it at the hospital. And what's cool about it is that it holds your baby's arms up. And so even if like they want to suck their thumb, they can still get to it, which our daughter ended up doing eventually. And it's really helpful for that. Also to keep them, you know, warm. So like we would put like, depending on the weather, of course, we would put like their PJs and then the swaddle. And that's kind of part of like their bedtime routine, which a bedtime routine is always good to implement, in my opinion. So definitely recommend that. I feel like they have three stages and we have two of them. The last one we didn't really get because I think by then it was just kind of like PJs and it was kind of like meh. Although we did think about it, especially when she started taking off, like putting down her zipper for her PJs. We had to put a shirt on top to prevent that from happening. See, all the things you do. But yeah, so Love to Dream Swaddle. Definitely recommend that one. But again, research and figure out which one you would prefer. Product number 17. Oh, this is like a sofa that I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's called the Nugget. And it's amazing. They can build like a fort on it. Like there's so many different configurations you can do, but it's basically like a sofa for your kid. But it's pretty cool. We love it. We've used it a lot and definitely recommend it. And number 18, again, with the travel thing, we should just do an episode about traveling, but there's a car seat we got. I don't remember the name, but we still use it. And it's like a travel car seat. It's been really helpful because when we've gone on the plane, we've put it on and then she goes strapped on there. So we don't have her like running around in the aisle or anything. And she's also safer, in my opinion. The only time that she was, like, you know, obviously, if they can still, like, go with you on the plane, then that's fine. But I think that was only, like, on our first and second trip that she was just, like, carried. But as they get older, also, they get, like, heavier and stuff. And it's just, like, they get used to the car seat, like, when you're going in the car. So why not use it on the plane as well? And it's very light, which I love. It's also very easy to click on to, like, cars. And that was helpful, too, whenever we traveled, because then we could just, you know, go anywhere, rent a car, put it in. We didn't have to, like, rent a car seat or anything like that. And even now we use it, like, when my sister comes by, like, she's going to take her somewhere, instead of moving the bulky car seat that we have, that it's super safe, rated, and I don't know what else research my husband did about it. It's, like, made of steel or something. The portable one, the travel one, it's super easy and super light. So we'll just put it in either my parents' car, or my sister's car, or my in-law's car, and then she can just ride in it, and it's fine. So definitely, I definitely recommend that. Number 19 is the Kamatomo bottles. And these were helpful. I personally don't really have that much experience with them. You would have to ask my husband, my family, because I mostly breastfed. I was too afraid of my baby not wanting milk from me by using the bottle. I don't know if that's a thing or not, but I kept reading about it, and I was like, that's also why she didn't use a pacifier that much. But I know when I did pump and, you know, had to go to work and stuff, like, my family, my mom that stayed with her and stuff, like, she would use those bottles, and I did not hear any complaints, so I think they were good. And, I mean, those are the ones I'm using again with baby number two, so that's why they're on the list. The very last one, the very last product I have for all of you, is a tent-type playpen. So this is from the California Beach Co., and it's been amazing. We got it for, like, her first trip when we went to Cartagena, and it was really nice because it builds up, like, it's portable, right? So we were able to take it on the plane and everything. And it has, like, this little inflatable pad that you can put as, like a cushion almost, like una camita that goes on the, like, on the floor. But it also has, like, this net to protect from, like, mosquitoes and stuff and let the air in. So when we went to the beach over there, it was really nice because she fell asleep and she was just sleeping there. Even I almost took a nap there. I breastfed there. We've used it, like, you could use it anywhere at a park. We've actually used it inside the house as well. And that's where she would play. So it's, like, it has different uses. Especially also if you like being outdoors and stuff. It's, like, a nice way to be outdoors without having so many bugs and stuff. And it's portable, again. So, like, it folds, which I love because sometimes you don't have that much space. And your house is going to be filled with stuff for your kids. So it's nice to be able to fold things and store them. But yeah, that is my list of recommended products. And I hope this was helpful. I hope it gives you all ideas. And maybe even gift ideas if you're going to a baby shower. Maybe the person you're going to go shower with love doesn't know about these things, and you can recommend them. So let me know if you have any questions on any of these items. And that's it for today, pilosas. Y como siempre, a ponerse las pilas. Hey, pilosa, wasn't that an awesome episode? If you loved it, please share with another pilosa that you know will enjoy it too, because we're all about community here and lifting each other up. Screenshot this episode and tag me on Instagram at Póngase las Pilas Podcast so we can connect, and I'll be sure to send a shout out your way. Oh, one last thing. I would love it if you would leave this podcast a review on Apple Podcasts, since that is one of the ways more pilosas will be able to find us. For any resources mentioned on this episode,
or just to connect, make sure to visit the episode description in your favorite player. That's it for today. Y recuerda, a ponerse las pilas.